As we approach Thanksgiving Day, all of you here know that I'm not big on holiday-themed sermons, but I'm going to do it today. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. Okay? I do have a problem. What time is it? Someone tell me. So I forgot my watch today, so if I get to about 1:30 or 2 o'clock, flag me down if you would, okay? 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and next to him Zechariah and Zeiel, and Shemariah, and Zehiel, and Matariah, and Lehab, and Benaiah, and Obadom, and Jeiel, and with psalteries and harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also, and Jehaziel, the priest, with trumps continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember this, his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Will you pray with me? Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, asking you to bend our hearts, to put us in a state, Lord, where we recognize that all good things do come from you, that we may work and toil in this world, that we may struggle every day, dear Lord, to bring things in to exist on. But Father, without you, none of these would mean anything. That even our skills that we use to bring home what we need, Lord, come from you. That all good things are of you. Lord, we would pray that our country once again would realize Jehovah God is the God of God and the King of Kings. And Father, that can only happen when it comes into our hearts as individuals, that each and every day we remember your wondrous works. Thank you, Father, in thy name. Amen. What an exciting time this was for the nation of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant was coming in, the presence, the symbolic presence of God among the people. Now, I'm not going to preach at you today. We're going to do a little talking, okay? We're going to look about Thanksgiving and see what it means and how we should be grateful. In this passage we just read, who was David talking to? Aha. It's awful early in the sermon to doze off, guys. Let's try this again, all right? He was talking to the nation of Israel, right? Everybody say yes. Oh, you're such an astute crowd. He was talking to a crowd, and you know what? Sometimes we need a crowd to get stirred up, don't we? Sometimes we can't find it in us to be strong enough to stand alone for the Lord. So David gets everybody involved. You know, us Christians are kind of like this old wagon horse named Buddy. There was a fella got stuck in a ditch in his car, and this farmer came along in his wagon. He had one horse hooked up. The horse's name was Buddy. He pulled up there and tied up to the guy's car, and as he stood there, or as he got ready to leave, to pull the car out, he says, I'm going to start all over. The wagon's lined up. The phones are turned off. We're ready to roll, all right? The wagon's lined up. He's going to pull this car out of the ditch, and he says, go, Coco. And nothing happened. He says, go, Betsy. Nothing happened. Go, Jojo. Nothing happened. He says, go, Buddy. And the wagon took off. And the guy in the car says, why did you go through all those names? You only got one horse. He says, yeah, but Buddy's blind. If he thought he was the only one that was working, he'd quit. That's us Christians, folks. If we think we're the only ones working, we don't do nothing, do we? We just stand around and we look good, got a big Bible, and sometimes we'll have a tie on, and well, not too often, but sometimes we have time. David's talking to the nation of Israel. He's giving them some instruction. Today, as we approach Thanksgiving, I so much want you to take the time to realize that the presence of God itself is why we're thankful. That's what's amazing about being a Christian, is God is present with you all the time. They brought in the Ark of the Covenant and put it in a tent. And that Ark of the Covenant to the nation of Israel symbolized that God was there in their midst. Sometimes us Christians forget that God walks with us, He sleeps with us, He holds us, He comforts us. He's always present with us. And we forget to say thank you. What can we... John 15:4 says this, "Abide in me and I in you." And we studied this a couple of weeks ago. "As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me." So Christ made a statement in the book of John, if you'll just abide in me, live in me, I'm going to be present in you. What's a wonderful thing about our God, folks, is that even when we're making mistakes, He's promised me He would indwell me with His Spirit. That His presence of Jehovah God resides in me continually since the day I said, "Jesus, come into my heart." Isn't that amazing? You got to just take and wrestle with it. To get the joy of Christianity is about thanking God. David's going to describe how we thank God here in just a moment in this passage. First, I want you, if you would, flip over to Romans chapter 8. I want to read something to you quickly. Keep your finger there in 1 Chronicles. Flip to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 8 through 15. "So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So understand this morning, if we're going farther. Here this morning, among all of us, if the Holy Spirit is not in us, then we do not belong to God. Okay? Pretty clear definition. So that's a promise that says that all who belong to God have the Spirit in them. Verse 10, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." What an amazing thing it is. And the reason I wanted to read this passage is I want you to realize that the nation of Israel was a chosen people. They still are a chosen people. Nobody's replaced them. They are still God's chosen people. The covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12 is a continual covenant, never ending. But along with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there was another people came in called the elect. That's us. The Bible, if we were to study all of Romans again, and we tried that once, took us 2 years. We know that Paul tells us this, that we were known of God before the foundation of the world, that He knew which one of us would accept Christ as His Savior. And by that foreknowledge, He blessed and elected us to become His children into eternal life. He didn't force our decisions on us. What I want you to get before we go into this passage, 1 Chronicles, is this. Is that God put you in a special place just like He did the nation of Israel. Now they've got some stuff coming before this old world is destroyed that's going to be real hard. Okay, God is going to fulfill all of His covenants with the nation of Israel. But in fulfilling that covenant, they're going to be driven to the brink of disaster in the tribulation period. I thank God I am of the covenant of grace, not of law. I'm under a covenant that says if I accept Christ as my Savior, then He dwells in my heart and the Spirit of God lives within me. So we should, as the nation of Israel, we should be continually in a state of thanksgiving because God chose me. Now, folks, I've lived with me for a long time. I wouldn't choose me, but God did. He picked me. He said from the beginning of time, Nick Shields is going to know my son, and he's going to get to come to heaven. And He knows that about every one of you who have accepted Christ as His Savior, His or her Savior. This morning, let's look at the instruction that David gave to the people when the symbolic presence of God came into the city, into the tent. Let's think, how much more should you and I rejoice in God when that actual presence of God resides in our heart? Isn't that a little more intense than a tent somewhere and an ark of a covenant? Let's talk about that this morning. David starts out in verse 4 saying this. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. They were to record, to thank, and to praise God. How many times when God blesses us do we take the time to record the activity in His life? Isn't that intense? Isn't that what, folks, I'm being honest with you. I'm glad they recorded it because you and I probably wouldn't have anything to read this morning if they didn't. The recording of His works means so much to those who come along behind us. To write down and say, you know what, God did this for me and I thanked Him for it. We probably would be less likely to forget thanking Him for things if we recorded those things. But you and I are so blessed on a daily basis. Do you realize this? I can assure you, Christians, that if we took the time to record everything God did for us every day, we wouldn't have time to get in trouble. You know that? And some of you need it. And me too. I need me a big old notebook because that'll keep me out of the trouble I get in. If we would take the time to record it. Now, literally that's kind of unlikely, but what I want you to get here is that David is saying that the works of God should be remembered. They need to be put in a place. They can't be erased or forgotten. To record those works, and then after they're recorded, is to praise God for them, to thank Him, to say, God, thank You so much. You know, this past year has probably been hard on some of you. It's probably been great for some of you. Some of you, just another year. But understand this, every day that you live this past year, if you knew Jesus Christ as your Savior, you walked with the Lord. You ever read the book of Genesis and look at old Adam and think, man, it must have been an amazing thing to get up in the morning and walk around with God. What in a paradise. What an experience that must have been to get there and in the morning to have Almighty God visit you with His presence and to walk around that perfect paradise He had created. I wonder sometimes if heaven's not going to be a lot like that. I don't know if we sleep in heaven. I'm certainly hoping we eat in heaven. I like that a lot. But sleeping, I don't know if we do that or not. But the presence of God will be visibly there with us. What an amazing event that's going to be. But even in this life, folks, if you know Him, every day you're to walk with Him, to thank Him, to praise Him, to record in your mind. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, you need to record what God has done for you so that you can repeat to others, to those nephews, nieces, kids, grandkids, that you might tell them. You don't just bundle them up and send them to church. You tell them why they're going. You tell them what God's done for you. You know, my kids and my grandkids are coming this week to visit, and I'm so excited. I mean, it's just going to be such a wonderful time for a couple of days. It's going to get real tough. Going to be real tough. But there's so much joy and having someone to pass on the record of what God's done for me in my life too, that I'm excited about it. Oh, what a joy it is to know God's that way. Let's look at verses 5 to 12. And we're not going to reread all these names because I had to put in the Energizer batteries to get through them the first time. All these fellas were involved in getting things ready. And we see that he started out in verse 8, and we'll work through the different verses. Verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Now, he's given instruction. Asaph, the person recorded here, many of the Psalms you'll see, David instructed Asaph. Asaph was the chief musician for the nation of Israel. So many of the Psalms, and a psalm is a song. Most of the Psalms are written by David. And he instructed the chief musician to put these down in writing. So you see Asaph's name here. He was a relatively famous person within himself. But in verse 8, he has instructed all these people. In fact, let's read 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. So the musicians have the psalm or the song, and this is what his instruction is. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Give thanks unto the Lord. Isn't it strange how that word is always popping up? Now, should we say this? Well, what if I don't have anything to thank God for? How's that fit? Was this instruction just to those who have things to thank God for? Let me ask you a question. How many of you were breathing when you woke up this morning? I worry about a few of you in here. Because about 3 minutes in the sermon, I can promise you're breathing because you're snoring. You're breathing. Thank God that we have this life God has blessed us with. It's no one that doesn't have something to thank God for. Now, folks, we can take our lives and mess them up so bad that we cannot figure out what happened to God. And that's a sad state. But if we are making an effort to be His child, are we still going to make mistakes? Yeah. But the blessings that come, what's a sad state of affairs, folks, is when we only run to God when we're in trouble. That's not a good move. Hustling people is not hard. Conning people is not hard. Well, folks, I don't know how good you are. You can't fool God. It's an impossibility. God knows every thought before you think it. God narrows every word before you speak it. God knows every act before it's acted upon. So what should we do? We should put our lives in that place constantly that we feel His blessings. What a joy it is. You know what? Sinning is fun. There's some good sin out there that's fun to do. You just enjoy the heck out of it. But folks, I tell you what, the price you're going to pay ain't worth it. It's just not worth it. It's an effort, as David gives us here. He writes a song that says, give thanks unto the Lord, and do what? Call upon His name. Wow. Call upon His name. So David's instructing these leaders, these musicians, these people in the congregation here to call upon the name of the Lord. All of us, I'm sure, spend some time calling upon the name of the Lord. I have to watch myself, though, to be honest with you. I have to be careful that I'm not always calling upon His name because I'm in a jam, but giving thanks to Him and praise to His name for already having solved my problem. You know, problems, it's a funny thing with us humans. We have a real tendency to believe that a problem that took us 5 years to get into, that God's going to snap His fingers and pull us out of it in 37 seconds. Folks, God works in His own time. But before He works, you must call upon His name. Now, I'm going to maybe step on some toes here. If I do, I can't apologize because I believe it's truth. So just be mad at me. The calling on God's name is not a magic formula, all right? Some religions teach that if you say it, God's got to do it. And folks, that's a bunch of baloney. God is not subject to the servitude of man. He never has been. He never will be. Name it and claim it is baloney. We call upon the name of the Lord that He would shed His mercy on us. That's His promise. That those things you ask in My name, Jesus says, will be granted to you. Well, being in Christ's name does not mean a repetitive motion of in the name of Jesus Christ, I claim this. It's saying in the manner in which I live that follows the name of Jesus Christ, I claim this. And God blesses that if we're in that position. We call upon His name. David instructed the people. I mean, they've got the presence of God there. Everything's going well. They're happy. And Israel had some tough times, folks. They weren't always happy. 400 years in bondage to Egypt, 70 years in bondage to Babylon, and numerous battles that they lost. But here's a perfect day in the nation of Israel. They've gotten rid of Saul as their king, this guy that they thought they wanted. And they've got David, who's a good man, made some stupid mistakes, but a good man. The Bible says he's after God's own heart. And now they have the Ark of the Covenant there with them. It's a good day. David says, give thanks unto the Lord and call upon His name. You know, I challenge everybody. After a while, when we get ready to eat here in a minute, we'll call on the Lord's name and ask Him to bless our food. And some of us will, in our hearts, be thinking, oh, yes, Lord, thank You so much for this provision. Some of us will be thinking, oh, shut up and let's eat. There's going to be all kinds of thoughts drift through here. But we call upon the name of the Lord to bring God's blessings on His people, just as David did the nation of Israel. He says here, make known His deeds among the people. Why would David tell you to make known His deeds among the people? Why would he say that to these folks? Somebody give me a shot. You can't get it wrong. Phil?
They didn't have newspapers. They didn't have a lot of ways to get communication out around them. Word of mouth and telling how great God is was a way of letting the nation know on it.
Okay, sharing the joy
to
the nation. Okay, very true, very true. Also, another key point. If you don't tell anybody, they may not know. Pretty simple. Rahab the harlot, sitting in the city of Jericho. Now this lady is an Amorite. She serves a heathen god. Her people are serving. The nation of Israel is marching on Jericho. Two spies come in. They hide in her room and she says, we heard of your God. We heard what He did at the Red Sea. We heard that He parted the waters and you guys walked through. Folks, what reason did this woman have to believe that? Because God told her it was true. See, your job is not to convince anybody about the truth of God. You can't do it. Our job is simply to share God's deeds and let God touch people's hearts on whether to believe us or not. Tell others of His wondrous deeds. As we get down to the end, I'll come back to this and tell you what I think the main reason you're supposed to tell other people, but the one we're approaching here is that you tell ye, make known His deeds among the people. Verse 9, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. David is very intensely indicating to us that we're to praise God with all types of sounds. And folks, this isn't saying that you have to gather together 500 people in a big choir. It's an individual instruction as well as a collective instruction to the nation of Israel. David is saying just let loose with your heart sometimes. You know one of those days when you're just so happy you can't stand it? You have those days. Guys, you know the day your wife gives you $5 instead of one, you just feel good. You think, man, this is a good day. And you can sing to God. Don't work at my house because if I go outside to sing, the dogs run. If I go in the house to sing, the wife gets mad. So I can't do this. I come up here to the church by myself. Sing unto him. Sing songs unto him. Talk ye of his wondrous works. When's the last time you were amazed by God's works? David describes them here as wondrous works. When's the last time you were amazed? When's the last time? Just let me ask you a question. I don't want any answers. I want you to take time to do this week. I want you to sit down and look at your life. Okay? I want you to look back behind you. And I want you to be amazed that through all your mistakes, stupid actions, you still exist and God still loves you. It's a wondrous work. Folks, we're nothing more but a thought that our parents had that we were conceived, and now look at us, where we've come from. We look at these babies that are in their church. Isn't it amazing what a wondrous work a child is? Isn't it amazing? Now, it's hard to believe that some of us were cute little kids too. But we were. No matter what we did later on, we was cute when we were little. Talk of his wondrous works. It's amazing. It's amazing that any one of us, from this guy up here all the way back, are in a church today. Only through God's infinite mercy were any of us allowed to become his children. That's a wondrous work. A wondrous work. Isn't that an amazing thing? Talk ye of his wondrous work. Verse 10. Glory you in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Glory you in his name. Wow, Thanksgiving involves a lot of stuff. Because now we got to glory in his name. How do you glory in his name? Well, I think it's pretty special to be called a Christian. I think that's pretty special. I think that to know I serve the only living God is pretty special. I think that there's no other God in any other religion in the world that exists. Only my God exists. It's been said so many times, you can go to the grave of all the other gods in the world and there's bones and deteriorated flesh there. But in my God's grave, there's nothing. Nothing. Empty grave clothes. I rejoice in his name. I glory in his name. I know that I'm his child. Anybody here that has parents that had a good home, and maybe some of you had a rough life when you were kids, and I'm sorry for that. But anyone here that had a good life knows you're proud to carry your parents' name. I had a good dad and a good mom, and I'm proud to be a Shields. I have a wonderful Father of Heaven, and I'm proud to be a Christian. I glory in his name. And I rejoice. How can I spend so much time so sad? Oh, the world is a sad place, isn't it? Isn't it? It just... And you know what? There's some people are only happy when they're sad. Promise you. I've told you this before. There's some people I will not ask how they're doing. Won't ask them. Don't want to know. It's always the same answer. Oh, it's horrible, preacher. So I just go by and say, I love you. Doesn't mean anybody here this morning that I just said I love you. I didn't ask you. Doesn't mean it's you. But think about it a little bit, all right? The world exists in a sadness, depression. Carmelita and I turn on the TV and she'll say, I'm so tired of seeing dead bodies. That's all TV is anymore. It's dead bodies. You know what? You turn the news, you turn to the programs, whatever it is, just dead bodies. Now, that is sad. It's depressing. But I rejoice that my body will never die. This flesh will go away. But you know what? I rejoice that I will go to heaven. I'm guaranteed that deal. God made a written promise to me that I was going to heaven. And God never lies, never goes back. So I rejoice to him. 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Now, in the writing of the Hebrew, in the instruction, To seek His face continually simply means many times God would say, I am turning my face away from Israel. I will no longer look upon them because of their sin. And to seek His face continually means that you are seeking to be in a place in your life that God will look upon you. Okay? Now, what happens to us when we get in a normal lifestyle, or let me say the lifestyle this world promotes now, is that God does not look upon that lifestyle. He does not look upon sin. I'm cleansed through the blood of Christ so He can love me and hold me. But if I choose to go into a sinful lifestyle, He may turn His face away from me. He doesn't take my salvation away. I don't want you to get confused, all right? But when I say His face, I mean His blessings. David is saying to the people, seek God's face continually. If you do something wrong to somebody, how hard is it to look them in the eye? Tough, huh? So what's David saying? Don't do anything that would make you ashamed to look God in the eye. Isn't that what he's telling us here? Seek His face continually. What an exciting life that would be. It says, seek the Lord in His strength. I need His strength, folks. Can't make it without it. Number 12, remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Now here in 12 it says, remember His marvelous works. Folks, I really believe that's why David told them to record and to tell others about the works of God. And so they as individuals would remember. See, Israel, and I know many of you in here get tired of me telling you to hold on to those Red Sea moments, but I want you to get that in your head. Israel walked up to a body of water and it parted. It wasn't because of Moses' staff. Moses' staff was an act of obedience, so it was a part of the act, but it wasn't the one that did the act. The water parted. There's dry land. They walk across. They're over on the other side. 3 months later, they're a little thirsty. Fresh water is scarce. And they're crying and whining and moaning and complaining. God, You're going to let us die out here. Oh, I think of myself so much when I read that. So many times has God parted the water for me that a very short time later I forgot all about the miracle when I just had a little basic need in my life. And I didn't turn to Him and remember what He had done there at the Red Sea. We're forgetful people, and that's what David's trying to bring home to them here, is that you record what God has done in your life, that you tell other people about what God's done in your life. Then you'll remember what God's done in your life. You see, the more you talk about something, the easier it is to remember what you're talking about, right? And I know y'all are thinking, well, Pastor, you don't ever know what you're talking about. You talk all the time. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you talk about one thing all the time, it becomes much easier to remember what you're talking about. How'd you learn math? If you did. What's 2 plus 2, Brian? Oh, you can have a moment. 4. 4. 2 plus 2 is 4. And you learned that not because there was any rational reason to understand it. You learned it because somebody told you 127,000 times that 2 plus 2 is 4. That's how you learned it, isn't it? Over and over and over and over again. Anybody that ever took basic algebra understands it makes no sense. The answers don't go where it's supposed to go, but somehow it gets there. It makes no sense. There's no process the average human mind understands. Now, Ken was the school superintendent, so that stuff may settle with him in there. I don't know. But we learn math and stuff by repetition, and we never forget. Most people on their deathbed can remember that 2 plus 2 is 4. Yet we forget the things God does because we do not remind ourselves over and over and over again. Folks, I am no different than any of you here. There are times I doubt my salvation. Yes, you can go, oh, but there are. But it's only, as Oswald Chambers says, doubt comes from disobedience. It's only when I'm not in His light that I doubt His presence. then I have to sit down and I have to remember his wondrous deeds in my life. And I'll have to say, it's not about how bad I am. It's about how good he was. Remember his wondrous deeds. So as we approach this Thanksgiving Day, I would challenge all of you to get a big bite out of 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and say, God, I'm going to talk to you. God, I want to thank you for all the blessings I have. Lord, I want you to bring to my remembrance. Because remember what Jesus said part of the work of the Holy Spirit is? To bring into remembrance those things Jesus said. God, I want you to make me aware of them when I'm struggling with doubt and pain. Lord, when I have a challenge I don't think I can handle, please help me remember my Red Sea. But most of all, God, your wondrous work in sending your Son to die on that cross that I might be saved. Say thank you today. Please stand. Turn your hymnals number 116. This morning, if God has touched your heart, and maybe you forgot to say thank you this week, maybe it just slipped past you, and that's all right, we all do it. I'll pray for something 100 times and only say thank you twice. Come up, get on your knees this morning and say, God, thank you. Or maybe this morning you realize in your heart, as you heard me talk about eternal life, that you don't know that promise, that you've never taking Jesus into your heart. Maybe you've been religious, but maybe you haven't ever personally known Jesus Christ, your Savior. Religion won't get you in the door. Heaven is closed to those who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I challenge you this morning, if you're in that condition, come up here. In fact, I'm going to go stand at the back of the church. Come take my hand if you want to know my Savior. If you're a Christian here that's just got themselves in a jam, need God to bail you out. Folks, he's a dad that never quits loving. He's a dad that never quits calling. He's a dad that never quits saying you're welcome when you say thank you. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father God, with joy in our heart, Lord, we know you're here. We know you're blessing us. We know you're taking care of us. And Lord, this morning, get us back on the right track. That we could cry out as David did. That we're excited about your presence in our lives. That we want to rejoice and sing to you and praise you and recall your wondrous works. That we want to seek your face. That we want to turn continually to you. Help us, dear Father, that we might find that place. In thy name we pray. Amen.